while the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing. The kings of the earth take their stand, and their rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Hallelujah. Father, we take refuge in you. The Bible says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, we take refuge in you. Amen. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. And we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. This morning again, we have come just for one purpose, to hear from you, to drink of your spirit. Grant us fresh breath from heaven in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pour forth that cool water from the rock, the everlasting rock for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We believe you will do that for us. Therefore, we declare as follows. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. Is giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Alright, the Lord is good. Please, let's take our seat. Alright, the Lord is good. Can we open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11? The book of Deuteronomy chapter 11. It's a long one I want us to read. And I'm going to end the last verse that I want to read in another translation. Now, Moses was speaking. He said, you shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments. Please, I just feel like emphasizing this as I begin to read, that the idea of loving God is not a new thing under the New Testament. Because people have said things like, the fear of God is in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament we love God. That is not based on scripture at all. Sounds nice. I was taught that also when I was younger. When I became a student by myself of the word, I began to notice that no, it's not exactly like that. You fear God now. Paul said, perfecting holiness in the what? The fear of the Lord. So, we fear God now, and he was heard in that he feared. Bear that in mind. And they loved God then. David will let you know. Read through the Psalms. I don't need to preach that to you. It's just clear that the love of God is everywhere. Amen? So, you shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep his charge, his statutes, ordinances, and his commandments. Know this day that I am not speaking with your sons who have not known and who have not seen the discipline of the Lord your God. That is, who have not seen his greatness, his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, and his signs and his works which he did in the midst of Egypt, to Pharaoh the king of Egypt and to all his land. Now for time's sake, like I said, I'll jump here and there. He said from verse 6, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben, whom the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them. Verse 7 says, but your own eyes have seen all the great work of the Lord which he did. And I said in verse 8, you shall therefore keep every commandment which I am commanding you today, so that you may be strong and go in and possess the land into which you are about to cross to possess it. So that you may prolong, please follow this, so that you may prolong your days on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them and to their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. He said, for the land into which you are entering to possess it is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you used to sow your seed and water it with your foot like a vegetable garden. He said, but the land into which you are about to cross to possess it, a land of hills and valleys, this land drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it. Please, I need to follow you to follow this. A land for which the Lord your God cares, and his eyes are always on it, from the beginning even to the end of the year. He said, now it shall come about, if you listen obediently, if you listen obediently, the word is to listen to my commandments, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. Now, please, I need to read that verse 13 again. What does God require? That you love, that is, that you listen obediently, that you love the Lord and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. The problem is that most people will love the Lord with half is kind of generous. A little bit of the heart, a little bit of the soul. We are not totally committed to him, to his instructions, to his precepts, to his ordinances. You know, the commitment is generally partial. That's where the problem is. But if you want all the blessings of God, all the manifestations of God, then you must learn to seek him with all your heart. All your heart. I say all the time, he's not like other gods, in which you find techniques to grab part of him. The best way to illustrate the Lord is the life, now, please, of a conventional marriage, not the one our brethren, our friends are doing. This is all over the world. The best way to illustrate the relationship with the Lord is that of a proper marriage. Can I use the word old-time religion marriage? In which it is a full covenant, a commitment totally. Are you getting my point? Yeah, that's a summary. That's how we are supposed to love the Lord. It's not a matter of convenience. That's why I keep on insisting that the best marriage vows are those old ones. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. It is not a sign that you have signed up for poverty. No. What you have just said by that statement, you know, please, if you're one of those faith-talking Pentecostals that will change it to for better, for best, you don't know anything. You hear what I said? What did I say to them?
You don't know anything.
You don't know nothing. The way life is, you have to take the vow. For better, for worse. Because your life is not going to be flat. There's going to be better times and worse times. It's not fair to say there will never be worse times. It shows you're not alive. Even Jesus had worse times. When the church scatters and you're the pastor and everybody leaves you, that's worse time. So it didn't bother Jesus, it shouldn't bother you. But the time will come. For richer, for poorer. There will be days when you'll be richer. And days when you'll be poorer. It's not unbelief to say it will happen. It happens. It's in the Bible like that. Heat and cold and heat. Summer and winter. It shall not cease. There's no faith you will have to flatten life. Paul said to us, if it's down, I know how to bear it. If it's up, I know how to bear it. I know how to handle it. Why? Because of Jesus who gives me strength. So it is not faith for you to say it, you never have any ups or downs. It is faith to say whether it's up or down, I will not change. My God is constant. I will hold on to him. I will encourage myself in the Lord my God. That is what faith is. Which verse were we reading? He said, it shall come about if you listen obediently to my commandments, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that he will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early and the late rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. He will give you grass in your fields for your cattle, and you eat and be satisfied. He said in verse 16, beware that your heart does not, your hearts are not deceived, and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them. Or the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and it will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the ground will not yield its fruit, and you will quickly perish. So you will perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Now, this is what I've said to you. What are you going to do? You will impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. The next thing you will do, you shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, and when you sit down, and when you rise up. Now in verse 21, it says, so that your days and the days of your sons may be multiplied on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them. Now listen, I will end reading in another version. He said, like the days of heaven on the earth. That's what King James says. A Young Literal Translation also has something like that. So this one says, as long as the heavens remain above the earth, I read everything. To me, it makes more sense in context. Said King James says, like the days of heaven on the earth. Please bear that in mind. Let's stop reading here. The Lord is good. I don't know what title to give what I want to teach today. A few weeks ago, or a few months ago, time flies, I taught on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Please, I suspect, I can't remember everything I said there, but if you are listening to this, go and listen to that series also. That will expand a lot of things. But this has just been on my mind for the last few days, and last night it came very strongly to me, all right, again. So I feel like, well, that's what the Lord wants us to talk about. And when I woke up during the night or early hours of the morning, that's what just remained on my mind. I said, okay, let's talk about it. How do I start this? Okay, we read the particular scripture. There's another one we should read quickly, the book of Hebrews chapter 1. I want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Or we're talking about the power in his word. Hebrews chapter 1. He said, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. Now I want to talk about the Son. He said, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. The Son, he says in verse 3, is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. Now, notice something about the Son. Say, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, that's what I want to read. The fact that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Again, let's continue reading. I think I'm in a reading mood. Hebrews chapter 4. After this, I think I'll start talking. Now, I said in verse 8, he said, for if Joshua had given them rest, that's Joshua of the old covenant, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, that is the one God has prepared for us, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. That is, those people, they disobeyed. It's called unbelief. So they did not enter the rest that God planned for them, which is the promised land, which is what we read about now in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11. So let's not follow the same example, because if we do, we also will not enter the rest that God planned for us. I hope you get my point. Now, let nobody give you the impression that one doesn't apply. That's the principle in Deuteronomy chapter 11. It applies. That if you don't keep his commandments, he will kick you out of the rest. Because here it says, those who participated in disobedience did not enter the rest. So now we have to be careful, because our own rest is going to be entered into by obedience, by faith. Faith is not just a state of heart. It is the state of heart that produces real works in your life. Faith produces obedience to divine the instructions. Faith produces obedience to divine commandments, precepts. If faith is in your heart, your works will show. I told a man once, in a group, a chat group, we're talking. Day and night, all he did was insult the president, grumble about the nation. Now, by the way, when you want to insult God, let me just tell you, you will never. There are few human beings who do it, who will turn around and be telling God something that he shouldn't hear. There are very few who do that. An average person doesn't do that. Israelites never told God, you are not reliable. They told Moses, you can't be trusted. They didn't say that to God. Everybody is afraid of God, they won't say it. But they will turn to Moses and grumble against Moses and thereby grumble against God. You want to hear this truth? You have grumbled a lot against God, you listening to me, but you thought you were grumbling against APC, the ruling political party in Nigeria. You grumbled a lot against God. You thought you were grumbling against the president. Matter of fact, a lot of people are grumbling against God daily. And they think it's just the president. We don't know the kind of leaders we have in this country. This country is just there are countries, our leader. I told one of my classmates, I said, you don't know how old you are. Yeah, I told him. One day I was in an office in the teaching hospital here. In the teaching hospital, and somebody said that, you see, if our leaders, I said, hey, wait. The number of people, we are three of us. I said, look at who, three of us who are here. We are still complaining about leaders. You will be 70 years old. Your children will be governors, senators. Do you get my point? And then you still be complaining about leaders. No, at that time, you should have been saying, if our children will be able to arrange this country, then use the proper word. Then shame, hopefully, will arise in your heart. I told my friend that day, I said, hey, you know how old you are? Do you know the position God has kept you? People like you, if you were to speak, you should say, if only we could get our acts together. Uh-huh. Once you point, God hates the pointing of fingers. Absolving yourself of responsibilities is not my fault. Thus says the Lord, it is your fault. You are part of the fault. You are part of the fault. After all, you don't obey traffic rules and you don't think it matters. Why should everybody, God has afflicted me with obedience to traffic rules. I use the word afflicted. I chose it deliberately. Because I asked my children many times, I will stand alone at the red light at an odd hour. And everybody's going, boom, boom, boom. Everybody just ignoring the light like it's not there. I said, it's my burden, it's my cross. Because once I start beating it again, you know, like everybody else, suddenly I have approved disorder. I will have approved disorder in the society. Brethren, that one, I consider it a cross. I do. I'm going to talk about cross later. Not today. Another time. Pastor Frank, why is it a cross? Because many times I look like an idiot. People will even stay behind you and be honing.
Where I'm going with all of this is that, so, for me, when as a senator, you are breaking traffic rules, there's nowhere you are going, we are not going to. There's nowhere. All you need to wait is 30 seconds. That light will turn green. Or you feel like you are above the law. That's what the problem is. Where I'm going with that is that, that's what I refuse to do. That's why I call it affliction. Because somebody has to say to God, we should obey the law. And once you are the one saying it, you have to start. It gives your prayer power. It tells God, because a sign of faith, you know, a lot of people, you know, how do I exercise my faith? The exercise of your faith is not in doing things that are too dangerous for you. It's in being faithful with the little that you have the opportunity to do. Did you hear what I said? If you are somebody that says, God, bless me financially plenty, I will help people. God says, this small one I have given you is all I need for you to help people. Don't wait till I've given you 1 billion naira before you start becoming a giver. Right now, you are eating your food all by yourself. But you can buy a shirt, you know, by faith. You can buy a suit by faith, expensive suit. You'll be paying bit by bit by faith. But you can't give by faith. You don't have faith. You have lust. Do you get it? How you know whether you have faith or not is in the area of money. Just check. Okay, I can buy this thing. No, people do it. I just need to keep saying this to correct young people. You go and buy a phone, all right? An expensive phone. And smartphones are the reality of our times, okay? And we all need one. I'm not saying we don't. But they come in categories. In using Naira, there are very good phones that are just 150,000 Naira. And then when you go to the top of the Samsung and iPhone series, you cough up 1.8, 2 point something M. You know that. Uh-huh. But you know, you don't want carry last now. So you're going to buy one that's 1 point something million. You are paying bit by bit. There are people who do that. I mean, it's not like it's bad. I mean, most people are abroad. That's how they pay for their phones. So should you do that? I don't know. I don't know how much money you have. But your punishment is doing press up on the second Niger Bridge. If they now tell you to give and you say you don't have, let me just tell you, may God break that phone. It's a blessing I've just blessed you with now. It's a blessing. It's not a curse, it's a blessing. Let a good work come one day. Maybe they want to do mission work, they want to help the needy. And you say it is acceptable according to what a man has. Your punishment that on second Niger Bridge, still carrying weight, exercising for deployment, it's about to be graduated from the academy for your sake. Please, let me just say to serious Christians, how do you exercise your faith? It's in faithfulness. You cannot use faith to buy an expensive gadget, an expensive car, and you can't use that same faith to give. No. It's against God. That is how to activate kicking out of the promised land. Is that not what the Bible says? Say, I will kick you out of that promised land. If you want to activate it, do that. When it's time to give, you have stories to tell. How the country is hard. How you know not. Meanwhile, when it's time to acquire, you can plot. You can go for financing. When you are praying for goods, it's not faith you are using, it's lust. I hope I've helped you this morning. In fact, if I close now and I go home, I'm sure I have helped some people. The Lord is good. One of the ways to measure your capacity for enjoyment in life, because there are things some people will do. And you know, the other day we were talking. Judah told me that this is a certain amount of money. He and Apostle, and two of them. I said, look at the two of you panicking over money that was not even up to 200 million. Or one small plot of land. The two of them, they were like, Pastor, how can you say? I said, relax. Those who will buy it will forget they even bought it. They are not marketing it to you. That's why it's paying you. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
If you're in that category, it's not a problem. I'm very careful when I'm judging other people's things. Some people come and say, why should somebody fly in private jet? I say, he has private money. And he's going to private places. And it's a private business. So can you see? Private money, private business, private places. At the end of the day, private jet. It's none of my business. Because like I say all the time, if I tell you I'm going to Abuja and I'll be back in 2 days. One day I was in my office. I've told you this story before. So I was telling you, there was this new, this when Samsung was still doing this note series. So a colleague of mine and I were in the general office. I said, man, that phone is so nice. I encouraged the guy that he should go and buy. Ah, he will enjoy the phone. The phone, and I said, oh, the price is really low. I think the new model is coming out very soon. So this one, the price is down now. I said, you should go and get one. It's very nice. It's a nice phone. He now asked me how much. I didn't know. I was talking where people earn a little above minimum wage were gathered. We're just talking normally. I mentioned the amount. Now, you know, to middle level, high level, you know, that kind of thing. You get what I'm saying?
Yes,
we're not rich, we're not Dangote, we're not, but at least. You know, the next thing I heard was, yay! No, somebody screamed. I turned. There was a woman, she was typing. No, she was on the computer typing. We were just standing, just gisting. I said, no, get that phone, it's nice. He said, how much? I told him the price. Suddenly I heard somebody scream from behind. That's when it dawned on me that the money we just mentioned in passing, that go and get it, you'll like it. She puts her salary for 3-4 months together to just manage to approach that amount. So you that's sitting down there are beating somebody flying private jet. When that person dies, you will die and go to hell. Yeah, because what I'm going to say, if you're wishing him bad, somebody else is wishing you worse because the gap between you and that individual is narrower than you and somebody else that's behind you. Or you are there running your mouth. Your private car is somebody's private jet. Do you care what I'm saying? Don't forget that. So that's why I don't worry myself about other people's business. How much you bought your clothes doesn't bother me. However, this is what I'm doing as a preacher to you this morning. You cannot enjoy, it's forbidden from God, for you to be enjoying what you cannot give. It's not allowed. That's one I can tell you for sure. I can say categorically that it's too big for you if you can't give it. Don't enjoy it. Do you get what I'm saying? You cannot be the type that will buy such an expensive device. And to say that something serious, maybe you won't buy that device for somebody else, but something serious that's costing that amount is happening, and you say you don't have money, you're a sinner. That's how you mark, that's how you check yourself. Forget generosity or not. I'm talking righteousness here. I'm talking about righteousness. You know, I've seen women buy makeup and perfume, men and women, and pay 5 times. I don't have a problem with you if that's what you want to do with your money. After all, somebody took perfume that costs a whole year's earning. Now, in today's naira, so that bottle of perfume was 3 million naira. So that woman came and didn't, you know, if it's awesome, Lord, put up your armpit. She didn't do that. Bam! Broke it. Allowed it to drip on him fully. I've not personally checked. They said she anointed him for his burial, right? That's what he said. That's how he smelt during crucifixion. The thing was still on his body. That's what I was told. So it wasn't, it was literal when he said it. It was literal. So you see, like I said, it doesn't bother me. Now, the Lord liked it. You'll notice. But what I want you to understand is that she took it from a shelf. Yeah. She was that rich. She could do it. The Lord would not have allowed them to go and take an offering. Want to buy perfume? Who will give 5,000 naira? Who's going to give 10,000? Is the Lord's perfume? He wouldn't have allowed that. No, I'm telling you, I know him. He would not allow that. Go and sell your phone. We have to buy perfume for the Lord. No. He blessed some people enough to have it on their shelf. And they took it and smashed it and poured the whole thing on him at a go. So I don't have a problem with people having such things. But I'm giving you a tip on how you test yourself, whether you are that type of person to buy such. Can you break it and pour it on the Lord at a go? If you can't, you're too small for it. You're too small for it. It's costing you too much. I keep on telling people, you see, young people, I'm giving you tips of life. They say a phone is expensive, it's nice, very beautiful. It can fall. It can break. If you will cry, if the screen breaks, it's not your phone. It's not. You have not reached that level. You haven't. Like if you are good of the land, Pastor Cosmos was saying something. So you have to learn to give yourself. Which word did he use now? No, not prioritize. That is how to give yourself ease that and not to be under tension. Yeah, you must learn that. You must learn it. Please let me sit on my message. How did I get into that? Faithfulness. Okay, I know what I'm saying. So faith. How do you exercise your faith? It's through what? Faithfulness. It's through faithfulness. The way by which you exercise your faith is through faithfulness. And that's how that's why I told all the stories I told about how to handle money. Because what you need is not to go and do something dangerous. See, David said, anything too wonderful for me, I don't involve myself in them. It doesn't mean you can't ask God for great things, but you don't involve yourself in how it will come to pass. Do you get my point? What do you involve yourself in? The one that God has given you to do today. How well do you do it? Last I was talking about, some people say, I want to have this amount of money. I will help the poor. I will give to the gospel. God say, hey, wait. Don't disturb my soul here. I've given you small. Let me see how you manage it. Then you don't need to harass me. I know what I will do. If you prove faithful. It is not faith for you to get up in the morning and say, I've written 10 billion on the wall. I see it. You go and print Naira photograph and put it on your wall and print dollar on one side. I call it to come. Come. As you are looking at it, as you gaze on it, as you focus on it, let me tell you, if you focus on it, you'll be transformed into the image of money. Do you get my point? You will pass through many hot flows, many sorrows, while you are gazing at what? Mammon. What should you put on your wall? The word of God. The word of God. So faithfulness, the mechanism of faith, that's what I'm talking about, is faithfulness. It's not putting great things on your wall and staring at them day and night. No. Please bear that in mind. Well, just this thing, I've not started the message for today. I don't know. I will get there in a moment. Which scripture do you read to start? 11 and then?
Hebrews 1.
And then?
Hebrews 4.
Good, let's go back to Hebrews 4. Please let me say this again. The word of God is what? Alive. That's why I read Hebrews 4 there. Have you read it? Where do we stop? 11, yes. Disobedience. Now, he said, bear this in mind. Rest. Yeah, I'm talking about rest, yeah. This is the rest that God has prepared for us. The rest is there. And I'll explain what the rest is in a moment. He said, if you want to enter the rest, don't follow the example of disobedience. For the word of the Lord is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, let me just stop reading here. Please, listen to what he was saying here. I believe Paul. He was teaching us something that God has prepared the rest for you. Now, Now my message has started. All this while we're just gisting. I was warming up. You get my point? Now I'm warm now. I'm very warm. What was he saying? God has prepared a rest for us. Okay? And listen to this, which is why I read Hebrews chapter 1. That rest is being prepared by the word of God. Now, please follow me. That rest is being prepared by the word of God. If God has an assignment for you in life, which includes a very long life is being prepared by the word of God. God says, I said to you in your blood, live. Long life is dictated by his word. Let me say it again. Please, let me just quickly say this. I'm not talking to unbelievers. I'm not talking to people on the streets. I'm talking to Christians who have bothered to make themselves disciples of the word. And I'm telling you what God's plan for your life is. Long life, listen to me, is dictated by the word. Not by exercise, not by diet, not by fasting. I mean, I'm not talking about Christian fasting now, but this funny fasting that they teach these days as a health thing, which has also been proven by science to be a dangerous thing. In case you did not know, let me tell you now, the same science, people that say that science supports that it prevents the cancer and all of that, the same science has now said it causes heart disease. So, either you die from cancer or you die from heart disease. Yeah. If you just choose one. If you don't fast, you will die from cancer. If you fast, intermittent fasting, you will die from heart disease. So, die, you shall die. So, whichever way. Yeah, what I've told you is scientific facts. The one about heart disease, the one about cancer, I know in rats. Yeah. So, I'm not talking about to human beings, there are people like that who use that for their life. I'm talking about believers. And I'm saying to you, your life is going to be dictated by the word of God. Now, listen to this. That word of God, however, now please listen. Aha, I think, can you press pause for me there? I hope I won't confuse you. Your rest is dictated by what? The word of God. Please press pause there. Write that down in your mind and press pause there. So that rest now includes long life as an example. Let's take another material thing, prosperity, financial prosperity, a happy family and all of that as examples. Is going to be dictated by God's word, created by God's word. Now, how the word will create it is the word's issue to deal with. The word is alive. It can plan. It can plot. However, that word can be inactivated by disobedience. Did you hear that? Yeah, that's what he said in that previous verse. He said, make sure you don't follow the example of disobedience, because whatever the word of God wants to produce in you can be inactivated by disobedience. Please, every season in your life, the word of God is coming to you in a particular area. And that purpose, the purpose of that is so that it can release the life it has. Now, let me quickly say something to you, all right? The word of God comes different ways. Now, please, listen to what I want to say. We agree that the word of God is alive, right? We have understood that the word of God is what will create what God has plotted for you as your rest. Is that okay? Now, that word, it comes in different ways. I don't mean there are different aspects. Now, we know that. We know there's word, there's promise, there's precept, there's commandment, there's testimonies, and there are ordinances. And these are five things we said are components, different aspects of the word of God. But how does each one come? There's a way the word of God comes. First, let me say this. That word is what? Alive. Remember that? Yeah, it's alive. It's alive. The word is alive. It's not, Jesus said, the word is not letters. You have your Bible, you see, the Lord is my shepherd. You have your Bible, you see, thou shalt not steal. You have your Bible. You see, now listen to this. You see, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is that a commandment? Is that a promise? That's history. That's a story. It's written down. Now, what I'm going to say, but Jesus said, all these things, they profit nothing. Once it's a letter, there's nothing in it. Which means if I tell you, thou shalt not steal, there's nothing in those letters. So you see, if it sounds in the ears of an unbeliever, it doesn't mean anything. If I say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, it doesn't mean anything. That's what Jesus said, not me. He said, however, anytime you hear it, a spirit is transmitted. Do you get my point? So this is how God is. The word is supposed to create for you. How do I send you the word? See, listen to me. In the beginning, when God wanted to create, forget some of my brethren who say God spoke Hebrew. He did not. They don't speak Hebrew in heaven. What exactly he said does not exist on the earth. So when he said, in the beginning, when he said, the world was out from and void, and darkness was over, and then the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the water, and then God said, let there be light. There was no language that he spoke. He doesn't actually have to utter sound. There was no sound to utter. The way I expressed it before, when I was teaching, I said, God just said, if you were there, you could have heard, you could have heard boom, 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 boom. You could have heard thunder. You could have seen lightning, all kinds of things. But then Moses, writing that down in Hebrew, wrote it as what? Let there be light, or light be. Do you follow my point? God erupted with his word. His word is not a material substance. It can't be written down. Do you get it? So this is what he did. He said, so how do I communicate that now? That substance that's not material. Jesus said in John chapter 4 that God is spirit. So that word is spirit. When he speaks, his spirit he relieves. When he said, I saw in your blood and I said, live. He didn't have to use the word L-I-V-E. He just, But that meant you will not die. So he said, so we now say, Lord, how do we relate with this thing you have done now? So he says, no problem. I will write it down. So his word comes, listen to this, as commandments, as prophecies, as poetry or lyrics of songs, and very importantly, as history, as stories. So his word may come to you, and Samuel anointed the boy in the midst of his brethren. That's a story. But it's not a story. It is a channel by which his spirit just rode into your life. And suddenly you hear, I'm anointed. You leave the place. Suddenly, your shoulder suddenly is higher. You're bolder. Where you couldn't speak before, you start speaking smoothly. You used to be shy and, you know, timid. Then suddenly there's a boldness about your person. Why? Because you read a story that Samuel anointed David in the midst of his brethren. It's a story. It's a story. Let me tell you, that's why, take your Bible, brethren, and read. See, there's nothing like I've read it 10 times. It doesn't have any meaning. How many times have you eaten yam? How many times have you sold garri? No. Just to remind us about biology. The energy with which you climbed here today, do you know where it really came from? Somebody give it to me. Where does it come from? He climbed the steps from downstairs floor. Where did the energy come from, really? When you tell me the right thing, I will echo it. Somebody say ATP, garri, what else? The sun. The energy with which he climbed here came from the sun. All the energy that we use on this earth comes from the sun. The people that God gave the job of trapping it for us, they are called green plants. They have leaves. They spread out their leaves. And then they soak in the energy in the sun and trap it as chemical bonds and package it inside food. The yam profits nothing. It is the energy that gives strength. Do you hear what the Lord Jesus was saying? There is no energy you use on this earth that doesn't come from the sun. If you say, no, I got my own from egg. The fowl got it from grain, which was made by plants, which trapped it from the sun. What am I saying? The letters you have is the way God delivers energy into your soul. So, I'm telling you, the word comes as instructions. If you obey the instructions, it's not the instruction you're obeying. It is life you are receiving. So what about stories? If you believe the stories, when they said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that alone can heal your kidneys. Suddenly you read that, no, I was made by God. No, in one instant, the fact that he made, the fact that he's powerful, the fact that he knows what he's doing, the fact that he must have spare parts, all of them rush through your mind. In an instant, because you read in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's it. Kidneys start getting healed. If you sing this song, see, one of the longest songs I've seen in my life before is Deuteronomy 32. Moses wrote it as a song. See, whatever entertains you does what? Enters you. See, make up your mind, you will enjoy the lyrics of the scripture. When Two-Face sings, "Na two cheeks I go to carry," he's teaching you adultery without giving you instructions. Just keep singing it. One day you wake up, there are two chicks in your house. No, sing it long enough. You're going to wake up one day. You won't even know how they got there. It's Two-Face. So, as enticing as his music might be, once you hear some words that are out of order, deliberately reject them. After all, you raised kids. They wanted chocolate all the time. You didn't give them. Eat your yam. Eat the vegetable. Mommy, I don't like it. I like it. Eat it. Do you know, if you give a child that's maybe 2 years old, correct onugbu soup, he's going to wonder what's wrong with all the adults in this family. By the time he's 15, he's going to wonder why the children are not eating it. Why? He has been trained to enjoy something that is good. So the word of God comes to you as lyrics, the lyrics of a song. The word of God comes to you as instructions. It comes as poetry, the whole of Psalms, the songs of Solomon. Yes. It comes, even Proverbs, those are just short, but almost looks like poetry sometimes. It comes like poetry. Lyrics of songs. And again, very importantly, as stories. Don't joke with those stories. Brethren, don't joke with the stories. Don't joke with the stories. You just hear that Ezekiah and Judah had problems. Jerusalem was besieged. Sennacherib had conquered everywhere. Then he came to brag and rail against the Lord. And the Lord said, "It is time for me to put my ring in your nose." And Isaiah says to Ezekiah, "He won't shoot an arrow against this city. Don't worry. I will take care of him. I will make him hear a rumor." It's a story we all know. Then one day, one angel, God said, "When did you kill somebody last?" You know, heaven, they are all kinds. It's not every angel. See, let me just tell you. It's not every angel in heaven that's nice. Some angels, they get their joy from killing people. Yeah. That's what they do. Just kill somebody. There's one apostle those days. He's a friend of this apostle. That one said, the angel that guards him smokes, they smoke Igbo. He said, "The angels that guard me are on weed, so don't try them." Very funny guy. He said, "They're on weed." So God called one of those weed smoking angels, if I may use the expression, and told the guy, he said, "Go forth and kill." And 186,000 people died in one night. And Judah was free. And Ezekiel was free. And God had manifested his glory. It's a story, is it not? Brethren, read that story again and again. Until it gives you joy. until reading it, you start feeling like Hezekiah. Suddenly you enter into Hezekiah's mind. And you feel the distress of his soul. And then suddenly you feel the freedom and the joy that comes with the deliverance of the Lord. Oh, this is the deliverance of the Lord. And then before you know, you are dancing alone in your house. And your wife comes and says, honey, what's going on? Then you quick catch yourself. Say nothing. What happened? I was just feeling the way Hezekiah was feeling. You know what's happening? The spirit of deliverance has just entered into you. It's a story. Now, let me quickly tell you about the enemy. Enemies. Or is it enemies or enemy? There's enemy and enemies. None of them is flesh and blood. Flesh and blood may use them. They may use flesh and blood. The enemy of your soul is Satan. So you know what he does? When he doesn't want people to receive the word of life, he undermines the stories. He undermines the commandments. That's what he does. So he tells you that the Bible is myth. And he propagates it. Please, let me beg those of you. First, let's start with Nigeria. Don't let... Look, if your children are in boarding house, check what they are teaching them. Check what they are teaching them. Make sure your children go to... They are in an environment, they tell them Bible stories. When we were children, our faith was based on stories. I don't know about you. All the faith was story. One day I came, my mom met one young girl. Hey, Mary, full of grace. Just cram it. But let nobody give the idea to your children that it's myth. Because if the children suddenly have that idea, that book is a book of myth, no power will ever flow into their life through it. None. Because the stories, as much as they are stories, they are to be believed before the power can flow through the stories. They may sound like stories. Sit down and read the story of Hannah. Hannah conceived because she begged the Lord, and Eli prophesied to her. It may look like ordinary story. Read it. Read it 10 times. Narrate the story to yourself and tell the Lord the story. Say, Lord, I want to tell you one story. I read it in my Bible. The Lord said, let me hear. Like they say, hit me. There was this woman. The Lord would do like he too doesn't know the story. Narrate it to him. That is how power flows. Don't let anybody, which is what they are doing now deliberately. They put your Bible in libraries, in many books, in many schools, right beside the book of witchcraft. They are all the same thing. They will start digging, archaeological digging, to prove that the Bible is wrong. Now, where was I talking yesterday? Yeah. Brother John, it was yesterday when we were talking at the online Bible discussion. You know, many of us trust science too much. See, me too, I study science. Without studying science, you can't become a doctor. And you will not be a specialist. All of which I became. I know it. And I read, I find it fun and interesting. But let me just warn you ahead of time. Majority of the publications that are released in this world, they are not released because they are true. They are released because people have to be promoted. I lie. And the 5% are published to justify grants, attract new grants, and get promotion. That is, if I give you $100,000, you have to show me what you did with the money. So you have to say that we studied 5,000 people and discovered that they have nose in front of their head. Yeah, they have to say it. You see, things are silly as that. But that was even the nice one. The one that is painful is when things are turned upside down for no reason. But let me not sit on them now. Yesterday I explained during that discussion that a huge chunk of things you see out there, the scientific studies were done to advance an agenda. Do you hear what I said? One day I had a theory, just to give an illustration. A friend of mine, a good brother, in fact, that's the one I told the story some time ago. He's a big man in the farm industry. So he came to Enugu, I had an idea. It had to do with cholesterol, which have been proven right concerning now since that time. I had an idea. I said, my brother, this selling of cholesterol-lowering drugs to Africans around here, I think is not right. I said, I have this idea. Let's do this, a study. But I need somebody to fund it, to cost money. I said, whether their company will agree to fund the study. He said, what is it about? I explained to him that I think that most people around don't need cholesterol-lowering drugs, that they are being prescribed. There's what we call over-treatment. That they are being over-treated. You know what he said to me? I was an honest person. He said, why should I fund a research that will prove that my drugs are not necessary? He said it in my office here in UNTH. He said, Banky, what are you saying? That my company should bring money to fund the research if your hypothesis, your theory is proven true, we stop selling our drugs. He said, nobody does that. And I understood. Which is why the world did not try to mitigate some of these things. So they said disclosure. Who sponsored this drug? But from this study, at least from what I've told you now, you see, I won't get any sponsor to tell the truth. So when they are doing archaeology, a lot of people go out to do archaeology with one purpose in mind. They have to prove that this world has existed for longer than the Bible says, and that Christians are wrong, and there is no God. See, get my point. I know what I'm telling you. At the back of their minds, that has to be achieved. And anytime they find something that does not support it, they suppress it. That's why people like David Green, that's how they arose to use their money to prove that there's evidence for all things that we are saying. That the evidence is there, but the people that control the money don't want the knowledge of God to come out. So they now came out again and said things like the Bible Museum and all of that to show you that this is, you can go and check these guys out. Answers in Genesis. They keep reporting research. One of the ones I saw recently. In fact, there's one I used to quote until I watched them recently. I was embarrassed. I quoted from a medical textbook. They showed me that it was nonsense. It had to do with how close our genes are with that of chimpanzees. They showed how that figure of 90-something% was achieved. Do you know, I was embarrassed that what? It has gotten this bad. All of this to undermine the truth. I saw a woman. He said, a video. Why did he become a Christian? He said he discovered that Christianity is a problem. So that's why he became a Christian. Yeah, he said, because see, he said, you don't see atheists come out to fight Islam. You don't see occultists come out to fight Buddhists. He said, look, why is it that it is this Christ that everybody fights? That's how he became a Christian. He said, there must be something here. He said, there must be something. He said, the way all of you gang up against one person. You know, if the Islamic fundamentalists wouldn't blow anything up, everyone would leave them alone. But Christians don't blow anything. We don't shoot people. We just try to live our lives. But we are not the target of everybody. Laws are written against you. The man said, that's when he made up his mind, there must be something there. That there has to be. What am I saying by all of these things? It's a satanic strategy to undermine faith in simple stories. It appears like simple stories. Yet, God said, that is how I deliver my spirit to you. So I'll put the book in your hand. Do you know what? Some time ago, we read that book of Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. The young men shall see visions. And you call upon your handmaidens, I will pour my spirit on that day. And all of that. And then Peter said on the day of Pentecost, this is that which was spoken or written by Joel. And one thing you know about scripture is that one prophecy usually has many levels of fulfillment. And I found out that the one Peter said, of course Peter didn't know everything, you know that, is the one he was able to interact with. But me, in this generation, we're in the year 2025, when many things are taking place in the days of Peter, I said, bro, Peter, that was half. When God said, in the last days, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, part of the fulfillment, which Peter didn't talk about, part of the fulfillment is that I will put my word in the hands of all flesh. My spirit will ride upon my words into everybody's life. Technology is driven by God. He told the Romans, build roads, build roads, build roads. My apostle is coming. He needs to ride upon them. Pour road on those roads and spread the gospel everywhere. A time came, you know those days, for the king to get a Bible, he had to copy it. If it's those days, I'm coming to minister today. My number one assistants are those who carry the scrolls. In fact, no need. You know, half of the money of kingdom will be used to create a library here of scrolls. Everybody will be taking turns to come and read. They will have to bring the scroll and put it. I have this one, I just be quoting that. No. They will open one for you. You do what you want to read, they enroll it. Then talk. Everything has to be in your head. Those guys, they could memorize. Everybody is now lazy these days. God said it's not good enough. Why was it like that? Because each book had to be copied by hand. And the men, it was a full-time job. Because they had to eliminate errors. That's why, is this accurate? We check as how old is it? And it was interesting when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls in Qumran those days. And modern times, actually. And they found out that it contained almost the whole book of Isaiah. And those men, I think the essence, they existed to preserve scripture. God said, no, it's not. I will do something. Just watch me. Watch me. Watch me. Then one day, he just brought for the technology. One man said, all they call the Gutenberg press is nothing but a giant stamp. They just arrange the letters and stamp it. Boom. But at least now, they could write a page in one instant. Once they've made the mold, boom. Boom. Next thing, books became available. Those who wanted to keep people in darkness resisted it. A person like William Tyndale died because he told a priest, I will make the common man know scriptures more than you, priest. He translated the Bible from Latin to the everyday man's language, English, and made it available. See, the church, the priests were fighting for their power because they depended on the ignorance of the people to retain their authority. So William Tyndale was a threat. But God said, don't worry, kill him. You know, sometimes God says, kill him. There's a reason why God says, kill him. There's a reason why. He needs the blood to fertilize something. Did he slow down the Bible? No. Right now, of course we know, those days, a man like, so that was, let me just say step by step. That was the next generation. Bible was now being printed. Then technology kept on increasing. From having giant Bibles, they became smaller and smaller and smaller until a whole Bible could be put inside a pocket. Then, what do you call them? Communists. Say no, because the Bible is a threat to everybody. It's a book that changes the world. It's a book that when men read, people think it's not the physical knowledge you get. It's a spirit that rides upon the letters. A people will suddenly get up. Why? You know, be honest with you. At least I know that from my own personal experience. You don't even know what they read inside it. It will end slavery. Why? They read the Bible. Yeah, the same Bible tells you, slaves, be obedient to your masters. Yet they read the Bible and slavery will end. The Bible works funny. The word of God works funny. Someone say, the Bible supports slavery. I said, leave the Bible. Leave. You see, you don't know it. You know, there's this guy that called himself Daddy something, Daddy Ice Block. You know the guy I'm talking about? Yes. You know, he tries to quote scripture. And I feel like if you don't stop, God will enjoy you. Because it's something you don't understand. Please, if you know him, tell him that, mention my name that I said that he should stop. He doesn't know it. He will be injured by it. That's how the rock of offense is. If it falls on you, it will pulverize you. The guy keeps quoting scripture. He doesn't know it. The Bible works funny. The word of God works in a very, very crazy way. I told you then, my wife and I went to Ghana. Went for a particular conference. So part of our conference, of course, trip around. So went to the Cape Coast Castle. And they tried to undermine Christianity. And the guy was telling us that but the dungeon where they kept slaves, right above it, the roof of the dungeon, was the floor of the chapel. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like the next floor now, slaves are packed in very terrible conditions and locked in the dark. And people were here worshiping. See, look at the hypocrisy of the white man. They want to move to the hypocrisy of the Christian. Was the white man a hypocrite? I don't know. Can you have Christians who are hypocrites? Certainly. But I said, what is this place now? It's a tourist attraction. Are there slaves down there? No. Says it's because they worshipped here. It's because they read the Bible here. You are laughing at them now because you don't understand. Because I know what I'm doing. Let them pour life into that place. Paul said, I magnify my office. If God has called you Christian, don't worry about it. Many times, all he has called you to do is just pour water into a ground. Sometimes I ask myself, Bank, what are you doing in Enugu? He said, just be pouring water into the ground. What would it produce? I don't know. It's not part of my job. My job is just pour water into the ground. You can't offer me money. I don't care how much they are paying if I went to North America or went to Europe. But God said, Banky, go and pour water into the ground. I want that fountain to spring from Enugu. I want it to spring. It will bring life into the place. That guy that he was trying to laugh at Christians, the white man and the Christian, said, relax, relax. We are here today. And your black face should have been a slave. He's giving us speeches. Is it not God? If those people didn't worship in that place, what you are laughing at now, you are trying to make mockery, you would have been a slave shipped over to America. But you are here, you are a tour guide. You want to know why? Because they worshipped here. That's how the word of God works. God said, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. So what did he do? He said, release the technology and the spirit of the printer, the publisher upon them. The NIV Bible. Year after year. I don't know about now. You know, we don't talk about how many they sold, but how many is downloaded. But the time we say counting paper sales. Year after year was the number one selling book on the earth. I didn't say the Bible, I said the NIV. Many people don't know when they give you those facts that the Bible is the most. No, they didn't mean the Bible. Just NIV. If they counted King James, if they counted Revised Standard, Good News, New American Standard, Haba. When they say the best selling book, they mean one version. The NIV was the number one selling book. I didn't say Bible. The number one selling book on the earth. Of course, it's sold more than the other Bibles. But if you added all the other versions to it, that means number two would have been like 10 kilometers behind them. One of the best selling books that the world has ever produced is Pilgrim's Progress. That it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by Joel. That in the last days, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. The other day in my house, I gave everybody an assignment. We need to lift up the name of the Lord. I said, study your scriptures and come and give me the name of God for the week. Because we used to recite the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. I said, that's the only one. There are many in the scriptures. Everybody take 1 week. Next, my son came. What is one? He said, the Lord our Redeemer. We read that portion from Isaiah chapter what now? 41. Yes. And he said, the Lord our God, the Lord our Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. That's a young man prophesying. Do you get my point? The Spirit, how did they enter? Through the book. So you can get your children to come and tell a story in the morning. And the Spirit will speak by them. Why? They read the book. But it was paper now. So the Saudis could say no Bible in their country. The communists could still say it. Brother Andrew had to be smuggling Bible by the Spirit of God to the communist lands so that the word could be read inside there. Prayers could be said inside there. And the iron curtain eventually collapsed. Because I'm not done yet. See, in the emirs' palaces, they will share Bibles. They will listen to me. Don't worry. You say, Banky, don't worry. Tell your brethren not to worry. Then I went to some people and say, build the internet. They built it. There's what they call the dark web, where a lot of evil takes place. Even in the web is in three levels, all right? There is the surface web, which all we all go to google.com, we go everywhere. Then there's the deep web, which is your email address as an example. Only you can enter your email box. It's called the deep web. You need a password, you know. So most companies, their data, they are stored in the deep web. Then there's the dark web, where only evil people go. Where they sell weapons. Where they sell human beings. Where they do, you watch crazy things. All kinds of nonsense goes on there. It's called the dark web. You know why all this is occur? Because when God plants wheat, the enemy will come and plant tares. So don't let it worry you. That's why I'm going. Because even in the surface web, pornographic sites are there and thriving. Because that's not why I created it. So let me tell you why I created it. Banky, you are this morning preaching the Enugu. People are watching you from many countries on the web. People are streaming on the web. They are listening to your radio on the web. There was a time, last time I counted, our books were being downloaded. There were about 3,000 copies a month. What I'm telling you is almost 10 years ago. In downloads of books from the web. So that now, even if you block certain domains, there are VPNs that will bypass the firewall. So that there's nowhere on this earth now you can stop this Bible from getting to. And before, I needed to use a truck to carry my translations and my commentaries. Now, in one small device, this one is even big, on my phone. It just to avoid confusion is why I don't download too many versions. Because the Lord bless the household of David Green. They have made downloading every single version available in every language possible. Open my device. I have 2 versions of Yoruba Bible and 1 version of Igbo Bible. Yeah, I do. Do you read them? Not yet. I will start, but I only read the English versions. But that's the point. I could get there and get Bibi Linso. Is that not how we say it? Bible, so. Oh, okay, Yoruba is Bibi Limimo. So I have 2 Bibi Limimos, version 1 and version 2. And I have Bible, so. No, forget the Inso, I know the Inso. It's the Bible. That's English now. Don't mind this girl, can't they confuse me there? Akukwonso, thank you. You said. Is he reading half in English? That's why I was wondering that guy. But the word is being fulfilled. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Why? Because you see, these books, these letters, is the way by which God transmits his spirit. So when he wants to send his spirit somewhere, what does he do? He sends his word there. Look, if you're a minister in whichever way, and God has called you, please. See, this world, what they do is to try and take you away from God's calling. And they have nothing else to offer more than mammon. See what I said?
Yes.
Let me tell you, have respect for the word. If God plants you in a corner somewhere, as long as he has given you that Bible, and listen, there are just 10 young people that come there, and all they do is read the Bible. And they just talk. And just read. And they go about their businesses. And then you check it, over 10 years you'll be in that area. Over 20 years. 400, 500, 1,000 people have joined you to read the Bible. You are doing ministry. You know what I said? You are doing ministry. You know why? You are planting something. You are planting something. Many of us, this is the call of the Spirit. Many of us, God has planted us here and there just so that the Bible will be read. It may not be a church. It may be a small business. You just tell your staff that we read the Bible, we do Bible study after work from 2 or from 4 to 4:30. They just read the Bible. Again, let me say this again. You don't need deep revelation. You see, the Greek word actually is, doesn't mean this, it means that. But you see, by the time they finish, everybody's confused. And then you leave the place feeling, well, share the word. Rema. You know, so a lot of pastors say, it's when people can't understand them, they're happiest.
Yes, yes.
They talk and talk and talk and they say, you will understand it later. We passed through that phase too, but that was in university. Since then, we have left it. If you preach, people should just understand. Just simple words. You don't need. You see, if they invite you to come and preach, you know what to preach. Just go and arrange like 10 different scriptures. I like what David said here. Read it. He said, hallelujah. Then Isaiah began to talk. Read Isaiah. There was something that Jesus said. Go to John and read it. Just make sure each one is long, like 15 to 20 verses. But then if you need reading 7 points of the Bible, your time is over. I say, oh, praise God, praise God. They were blessed. Trust me, they were blessed. You know why? The word works. The word works. I thought about my life over the last few years. What's your job? Anki, just go and talk the word. What will it produce? It's not my job. Everybody has his own assignment. My assignment is just go, read the scripture, and teach the scripture. As long as the word is being planted, to bear fruit. The mistake a lot of us make, we think, pastors, we want there to be 2,000 people in the congregation, in a place like Enugu. 2,000 is a lot, you know that. If you have a church and there are 2,000 people, if I was to build permanent site now and they can see 2,000 people, you know, say, Pastor, came with it, don't make them for that town. He don't make them. Say, 2,000 people, my God. Then suddenly they start Bible school and everybody be queuing there. They are not coming to learn the word of God. They are coming to learn how to get 2,000 people. That's the truth. And then suddenly they'll be inviting all over the country. Why? A man that, results. Results. Results that Isaiah did not have. Results that Jeremiah did not have. Jeremiah was so frustrated. He said, I won't preach again. He said, I'm not talking. Then he tried to sleep. So he woke up on the night, finally said, prophesy. He said, the world became like fire shot up in my bones. Brethren, as long as you have the opportunity to keep delivering the word. And when they get, let me just say another thing. The gospel is foolish. You know, I said it last time. It's a foolish thing. If they give you a radio program, if you want to increase your audience, just start talking nonsense. Yes, there are two kinds of nonsense that works. One, how to make money. 6 keys to increase your business from 2 million naira turnover a month to 200 million before the end of the year. It's tested. It works. It's tested. Teach it. After I teach for some time, now I say, those who really, now make it spiritual, those who want this thing to release in their lives, should send you an offering. You go buy moto. You go build permanent site. What is it? Yeah, man of God. Say, look, the higher the offering, the higher the results. That's one that got increased the audience. The second one that increases audience participation is kill somebody. You know, call kill somebody. Today, everybody that said you will not make progress, today is their obituary. Call them obituary night. And you that's doing obituary night, you got to chop, Abby. They, after they don't fire the arrows, say, some arrows are not landing. Bring an offering to empower the arrow. That's it. You build a second house and buy a second car. They want to get on the road, you all give a horse slap. Go just send an angel after you. But no, that's not what God sent us to do. Just go there and preach the word of righteousness. Just go there and preach the word of truth. It doesn't have to be a result. That's where I'm going. They don't have to be following in their numbers and giving you a lot of money. No. Just keep planting the word. And never forget that the word has a name. And his name is who? Jesus. Everything from Matthew, from Genesis all the way to Malachi, there's a story about him everywhere. Just keep telling the story. Keep telling the story. If you're a minister, just keep telling the story. See, there is no method. I've been around long enough. I first stood in front of people to preach with an anointing around 1990. How many years ago is that? 35 years ago. So it's not today. I'm not saying when I first stood to preach with an anointing that I knew that grace was upon me around 1990. And I can tell you, there's no method to anything. There's no method. It's when people, God has blessed some people. They now tell the story of their life. That is how they got there. Do you get my point? Let's talk about the 2,000 man church I was telling you about. When he finishes, he will tell the story. Then you will be a mistaken human being to try and follow that path. Because somebody has used another path and built a church of 50,000 people. And he did everything wrong by this other man. I shall not mention this while preaching. There's one man that used to talk as if he knew how to do it. Then one day he sat down and bombs started falling everywhere. I said, stop the bomb with your method. Shebi, you were telling us as if you know how to do it. Okay, now that it is raining fire and brimstone, stop it now. Congregation scattered. He ran away. See, your job, I've told you, see, allow the word produce. What is the job God has given you? Just keep, I'm talking about ministers, sowing the word. Never forget to do that. And for us believers, remember, the word comes as instructions. God will tell you something. It is not the instruction that's getting results in your life. It is the way by which you are activating the release of that word. Anytime you obey an instruction, first you hear, because the way you hear an instruction, the way you obey an instruction is to hear it until you believe it. And once you have believed it and it provokes actions in you, the spirit inside it has been released. The other thing I said, stories. Hear the stories. Believe the stories. And recite the stories. See what he told them? He said, make sure it's first in your heart, then impress them upon your children. When my children were small, actually, when he was a small baby, you know, young mother, little boy, used to entertain him at night to sleep with stories. And she used to manufacture meaningless stories, you know, stories that don't have any meaning. Then tortoise was now going, then he now fell on his side. And then ants now cross his leg, and then the ant now beat him, and Tophis now remember that he was going somewhere, you know? And the little boy will be laughing. You know those folk tales that you would tell children? Why the tortoise has a cracked back? It's because it fell from the sky when it ate all the food, and the birds took their feather back. No, it's a story everywhere now. There's another one that I actually enjoyed. Why the monkey says amen all the time? He says the monkey always said amen. I never heard monkey talk, but that's what they told us. They said that tortoise. You know, tortoise is the clever man of all the stories. That the tortoise went and told the monkey, prayed a prayer that the matter you don't know about, may it never come against you. And tortoise looked at him and said, what is going on? The monkey looked at the tortoise and said, why should I say? He said, say amen. He said, to what? What kind of foolish prayer is that? Okay. The tortoise went and fried akara, dipped it in honey. I was eating it and lion passed. I said, waiting with that. He said, one time, just gave lion one. Lion ate it. After a while, the lion said, what is this? He gave him another one. He said, wow, this is very nice. He said, no. Where did you get it from? He said, no, is it not the monkey? When he poops, this is what it's like. He says, monkey shit. Lion catch monkey, say, shit sweet one. They said the lion. They said beating the monkey. Say, you must shit sweet shit today. Finally, the monkey managed to escape, climbed the tree, ran away. The next time, tortoise was passing. So he said, matter you don't know, may no come upon you. He said, I'm says, is that tree? He said, the Lord is good. So, anyway, my wife is there, my son, all those kind of stories. And his young boy, we laugh and laugh and laugh. Then one day she came and told me, say, what kind of thing is this? I don't know where she got inspiration from. So am I convincing this little boy? The other ones never heard the stories. No, she didn't have those stories. So she, next time, it was bedtime, let's start telling stories. There was a small boy. His name was David. There was a giant, big like this. The boy said, ah, you know, small child. Wow, big, yes, very big, very strong, strong. Then David went and prayed, and the anointing of God was upon David. That became the story after that day. He said, no, I'm not telling any tortoise story, lion story, sweet shit. No, I'm not telling any story again. No, serious. I don't even know where she got the idea from that. She just came and told me, said, no, I'm not doing this again. At the time, I went and bought my book of Bible stories and gave the children to read. Because when you start telling children those kind of Bible stories from the time they are young, the spirit starts entering them from the time they are young. They should hear the story of Daniel, Mishael, Azariah, Ananiah. Had they stood and said, we will not bow to a foreign god, we will not bow to a god of gold, and the king threatened to burn them. And they said, we'd rather stand and die than bow to your God and live. Our God is able to deliver us. Even if he doesn't deliver us, just know, king, we are not bowing. And they threw them into the fire. And a fourth man appeared in the fire. The boy is only 3. But he will hear the story. And the spirit will enter into him and set him on his feet in the time of trouble. You tell him all kinds of stories. How a man touched an ark he was not supposed to touch. Just tell all kinds of, you know, each time you tell a Bible story from a heart of conviction, you know, God said, this word will first be in your heart. Then you shall impress and make them penetrate the heart of your children by talking about it all the time. I said, the word of God comes as stories, not just commandments. And don't forget, it also comes as lyrics. Lyrics of songs. Sing good songs. As anybody about the world, so what the world tries to do is what? Undermine these things. They try to undermine it. They'll tell you the Bible is myth. It's not myth. Please. I was saying something about where your children go to school. Please let me just beg you. It's beg. I am begging. Ensure that you don't donate. See, as a teenager, I think children are still too young for you not to have control over what they listen to. You're 14, 15, 16, 17. No. You have to go to school where I'm sure they read the Bible. And look, before I allow somebody to be systematically undermining your faith every day, you have to be above 20. Where you will be now with the fight. Yes, no. You have faith. See, I'm being honest. Guys, if you're listening to me, please do that for your children. Let them have your first degree first. You know, I thank God you can threaten people and they can stand at any time. But generally, it's easier when the fellow knows. She's not a postgraduate. I have the first degree, Abby. We'll fight that one out now. You don't want to graduate me, I can walk.
Yes.
But it's easy to threaten somebody who doesn't have that first degree yet. So let me give you the first degree with the Bible, somewhere around here. And after that, you can go to where they tell you there's no God. Say, there's God. There's no God. There's God. I will fail you. Fail me now. I don't know whether you cut what I'm trying to say here. Because young children are intimidated. Now, go and watch this film. God is not dead. You know, they have different ones of them. The first one, God is not dead. About that boy that got to school. And the teacher, the first year, and said that, okay, look, this course, I think it teaches philosophy. That doesn't have time to waste. Everybody just take a piece of paper and write God is not dead. God is dead. And then let's get it over with. Everybody submitted. Is that boy did not write, or he wrote and wrote God is not dead, something like that? He didn't write. That now became the issue in the class. What is the issue? He said, I don't think God is dead. The boy now had to stand. Now, notice one of the things that the man said to the boy. He said, you say you want to be a lawyer. This is supposed to be, you know, in America, law is not studied as a first degree. Yeah. So he said you want to be a lawyer. He said, I will be the one that will stand between you and that dream of ever be going to law school. That man told him to his face. You want to challenge me in my class that God is not dead? Brethren, that movie was not made by Nigerians. I hope you know that. That's the reality in that their country. That's one, you see, Donald Trump, you know, I told you, guess most koi, but leave his koi. That is one area where everybody has piped down while he's on the throne. Yeah. No, his coming really, really helped them. The Christian, see, in case you don't know why they support him, this is why. Like my friend said, my friend doesn't like Trump at all. He said, Banky, but I think I've been too hard on this man. He said, have you noticed that all this LGBT nonsense disappeared once a man entered him into power? I said, what did you think before? Where I'm going is that young people get threatened. And they see whether they, you know, capitulate or not, okay? The truth is that seeds are sown, seeds of doubt. The boy still goes to church, the young girl still goes to church, but they have packed him or her, packed him with doubt of every form. So the simple things, they read the scriptures. He said, in the beginning, God, no, there was a big bang now. Then you now see even the church starts trying to adapt big bang into their doctrine. We have been so intimidated by scientific stories that I've seen pastors, you know, modify their stories to accommodate some of this scientific nonsense. My time will now pass. You know, now first, I can tell you this as a matter of fact. This is not because I'm preaching, but it's fact. I was reading my Bible one day, and I saw God described Leviathan for Job. And I said, is this not a dinosaur? I said, no, but God just described a dinosaur. This is a dinosaur. Now, nobody ever primed me on that. I was just reading. No, just studying my book of Job. And God went ahead, talked about the scales on dinosaur. He talked about, can you put a ring in his nose and, you know, subdue him and all of that. When I saw everything God described about his tail and everything, I said, this is a dinosaur. And of course, animals of that bulk, now I don't want to get into details about it, all right? But generally, they are likely to live in the sea because to move their body around, they need the buoyancy given to them by water. Just all of them in the scriptures. One day I was now reading my Bible. I was using a Bible reference. I got to that same point again. I can't remember which of the Bible references. The person now said, possibly a dinosaur. But they told us they were extinct 1 million years ago. They've been extinct for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years. I said, for goodness sake, Job saw dinosaurs. They existed in the time of Job, that God could use them to tell Job his story. Only for us in recent times to start reading and find that there is scientific evidence abounds that dinosaurs existed in modern times. I'm sure many of you today are hearing me saying that you didn't know it was possible. One man, I was hearing him speak, you know, they interviewed him. He said he proved that the dinosaur bones contain protein. Now, if you understand science, if they're 1 million years old, they can't have protein. But he proved that the protein still existed. No publication agreed to publish it for more than 7 years. I recommend that Answers in Genesis for you. Go and sit down there. You know, people, they tell you that, how could Noah have put all the animals on an ark? And in your mind, it's true, is it possible? Until I sat down and I heard the man narrate how easily it was done. I was amazed. And it showed clearly. The man just explained something. I don't have time to talk about it in details. And I should have thought Noah to put the animals on the ark was not an issue. The variety was not this much. It showed that cats are cats. A puma, a tiger, a panther, do you understand? All of them, they are the same family of cats. He didn't need one of each, he just needed one. And at the time of Noah, they were not this diverse. Which is why all the breeds of dogs you know now, they didn't exist before. Just crossbreeding. And the guy showed that a cheetah is nothing but an inbred cat. My jaw dropped. See? Information there out there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But somebody would take this and undermine faith in your children when they can't stand up for themselves. Even though they may use shoulder, but they undermine. Next time I read the story of Noah, they say it's myth. Next time you read the story of the wall of Jericho, which has been found, you say it's myth. They now start telling you things that if the wall had fallen down, how were they able to cross? The fact is that the wall, the Bible never said, it fell down. It sank. Parents, please. You have a duty to transmit this faith to children. So let's be careful. Don't let any, because how you hinder the spirit from flowing is simply by undermining faith, even in Bible stories. And please, parents, you have a responsibility to guard the flow of spirit into your children, into the next generation. Don't joke about it. Please, be deliberate that no, you will believe the scriptures, you will believe the word of God, all right, as long as God gives me the power to guide. And if you check the general guide in scripture, until the age of 20, that's when God began to hold the children responsible for their own decisions. Before that time, their unbelief was the unbelief of the parents. Do you get my point? It was the unbelief of the parents. So you have to do what you have to do. You have to pray. You have to make the necessary sacrifices. That's what I'm making. You have to pray. You have to make the necessary sacrifices to ensure that spirit flows into your next generation. What I've been saying this again and again recent times. It is not a good education, all right, a foreign certificate, whatever it is, from the best university in the world, that you owe your children. The number one thing you owe them is the spirit of faith. Do you get my point? That spirit of faith must pass into them. The number one thing you owe them is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the faith of the Lord Jesus. Do what you have to do. Pray hard as you have to pray, all right? Instruct them as you need to instruct them, and make the necessary sacrifices, because that spirit must continue to flow. This world is always trying to hinder the flow of the spirit into us and into our children, and we must not let that happen. Now, let me just say something quickly, because I don't want to spend too much time. So, I've explained how disobedience to instructions, unbelief in the stories, refusal to dance to the poems and lyrics. These are the things that hinder the flow of the spirit. Refusing to enjoy, you know, the lyrics of the scriptures, the spirit will not flow. Now, I want to just really explain something here, and then we'll be done for today. And what I want to explain is about what God is doing in our lives. But the other day, my wife and I were talking. The spirit just came to me. I had understanding. And I realized that, you know, we read from that to Romans 11. And I emphasized the verse 21, where it talked about the days of heaven on earth. The days of heaven on earth. Remember I said that the word works, all right? And God has prepared a rest. And his word, we manifest that rest by himself. The word knows how to arrange. I said it last time. We talked about cloven tongues. Remember that? That when the spirit comes upon the church, the tongues fall on individuals. It divides. It's not one tongue on everybody. The spirit divides. The tongue is broken up and different people hear different things, which means that what God is saying to you, when the same spirit enters into you, is different from what God will say to me. And I use health as an example. If you want, listen, if you want health and long life, go and pray. God will work his thing out in your life. The spirit of the covenant, the messenger of the covenant will let you know the way by which God will work it out for you. I hope you're getting my point. The Lord will correct you if necessary. The word is that alive. In business, I gave the example of Demon Shakarian, who they opened scripture, that his father, and they had to go and start doing business in agricultural produce. I started with vegetables, he moved to dairy, and he became a very successful dairy farmer. You couldn't go and, you know, copy everything that he did, and you expect that you'll get the same result. Some other people, God will have said, no. You read the Bible again, the spirit will come upon him, and it is a man builded the house. Do you hear what I said? Not in my English. King James English. Builded. Not built. So he builded the house. The man's only here. Builded. Builded. Build. Ah, next, it's come alive in him. He become a builder. Become a property developer. Next thing you know, 10 years later, he's selling houses. You hear that he developed this number of houses. He's selling this. He's building skyscrapers. The same scripture that sent somebody to the field to go and be selling vegetables and farming cattle, that same scripture turned somebody else to a builder. Do you get my point? And that person, you hear, you just reading the scripture, suddenly the story of Ahithophel will stand out. Then suddenly the wisdom of God comes upon him. And then people will be paying him millions to hear him talk for a day. I told you, this man, Peter Daniels, spoke for 10 minutes, was paid $1 million. And that's not the dollars of today. The story is definitely more than 15 years ago. And this was a man who they said was stupid. His Miss Phillips, the name of his teacher, said that he was brain stupid, that this guy didn't know anything at all. He was that dull in school. Yet, he became a very successful, you know, businessman, did the real estate, different things. Even from what the time I heard, if somebody was telling the story, said his children, it's normal for them to carry pure, literal gold coins in their bag. They own interests in gold mines and stuff like that. A man that's a little boy, they said he was brain stupid. That's how dull he was in class. It was that bad. And generational curses, have you heard this before? about a parent, a criminal giving birth to so many criminals and a generation. And then one man, Jonathan Edwards, all the descendants, senators, governors, university professors, and all of that. Good. You know the category that Peter Daniels came from? The other category, the criminal category. He said, I had more uncles in prison than on the streets. Yeah, that his uncles, and you know, they amongst those, you know, Great Britain shipped a lot of their jail people to Australia those days. Yeah, it's an Australian. He came from a family where everybody, they are criminals. That shrank his brain until he couldn't think. And I heard the gospel. And he heard the gospel. And the word became flesh in his life. At the time, he said, look, he used to study the dictionary to know how to speak good English. He said he wanted to be wise. He read 1,000 biographies. Yeah, I'm going to read the story, Peter Daniels. He'll tell you that the gospel changed his life. It was the gospel that changed it. So, when I talk about ancestral curses, please, listen to the current thing we have on Pastor Banky in 10 podcast. Please, I said 15 things that the believing in Jesus does for you. It changed the ancestral lineage. This idea of going to the village to go and break curses, it's not necessary. It's when you don't hold on to the faith. I know you have problems. Anybody can have problems. I keep on telling you, Jesus can have problems though. He did. Judas cannot be your treasure and you won't have problems. When your own hometown, nobody believes you. You don't think that's a problem? When your own relative said that you have gone out of your mind, that you've run mental, you are healing the sick, didn't impress them. So leave that thing. You have problems, we can have problems. There are three reasons Christians have problems. I've said it again and again. Number one is ignorance. Number two is trial of faith. Number three, just recompense or reward for disobedience. Job did not do anything wrong when he had problems. But God needed to take him to another level of righteousness. So please relax. Anybody can have problems. This man, nobody did deliverance for him. And you know what? He failed though. The man, I think he failed in like four businesses. Three or four. And he refused to declare bankruptcy. Bankruptcy will have protected him from paying his debt. He said, no. I'm the one owing the money. I will pay back. He paid back all his debts. I saw them interview his wife. I mean, by that time, multi-millionaires. The man had a lot of his wealth. Plenty of it. She was old now. They were old people. It was in the 70s. He said those days when because he married. And he was always, you do business and fail. Do business and fail. And he asked his wife, what did you think all those days? She said, I kind of believed him that he said it would be all right. That's the only thing the woman had to say. Because he would start one business and fail. So he told his wife, don't worry, it will be all right. And when he asked Peter Daniels what happened, he said, I had not yet found my own place. So this one business he failed. He said, that's not the one God wants me to do. He moves to another one. I think it was the fourth. Yeah, it's not the third, because that would mean he failed in two. He failed in at least three or four. So I think it was the fourth that he entered into, bam, and things began to explode. So the fact that there's no successful person in your lineage, it doesn't mean anything. What did I say? Don't let any pastor come and tell you come for deliverance. He's feeding on your money. You know, see, ask that me. I know what I'm talking about. Tell him, can you do deliverance on credit? It's true now. Yes. One of my friends, he didn't do deliverance, but it's something like that. It's not deliverance. It's true. His church, when he was going to the city to start a church, so people were coming to, you know, Kai, I don't know which. I don't know whether it is the West or the East where they are worse when it comes to and follow. Everybody's always looking for a pastor to do something for them. So his own, they don't. Some men came to meet him. Businessmen. So after talking with them, they talked and talked and talked and talked and talked over the problems they had. One particular guy came with his friend. When they now finished, went to leave. He now brought a big envelope and gave my friend, the pastor. Those guys came to start a church in the city. He now told the man, he said, wait. You just told me about the business problems you have. The guy said, yes. He said, take the money. Go and put it. When it has produced, come back. The guy looked at him. He said, sir, it's not me you gave money. He said, don't worry now. I'm telling you, carry this money. This business you are telling me is not doing well. Put it in it. When it has done well, bring my money back. Exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. In fact, next day, he got a reputation. People found out that this pastor, you don't need money to see him. People are now referring themselves. Go and see, you know, they collect money. Because most other pastors, they will tell you at the door, I hope the offering is good. Because that will activate the release of the... Do you understand? His own, he said, there's no need. My anointing flows freely. He said, when it has produced, then you come back. So anybody tell you to come for deliverance because your grandfather used to worship idol. There's nobody's grandfather that didn't worship one stone. Or unless the person is just maybe this small boy generation. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Okay, our children now, they cannot say that they are... Because when I grew up, my parents were going to church. You understand? I don't know what their own fathers worshipped to. Because I know my own grandfather must have worshipped something. Something odd. That's how come my name had to change at a point in time. What I'm going is that, so don't be feeling too important with yourself as if all the evil ancestors are your own. All the wicked ancestors. Now we're tossing you up and down. We're going for deliverance. Jade. His titles would have prayed like that. I mean, it's not necessary. Some people, they won't use foul to beat you, to beat out the demons. And you put your head there. You put your head there. They are using foul, okuko, to beat your head. It's not right now. I'll get back to my message. Let's just talk. This in Christianity, please listen, we don't use foul. Oh no, we use foul to eat. The only thing we do with foul is to offer it as an offering for the stomach of the brethren. Our God does not collect it. The clown of a pastor I told you that said that maybe your ancestors placed a cow on your head and they have not paid it. And that's why you're having problems. Now, he's going to receive the cow on behalf of the gods. Now, if the gods now claim him tomorrow night, what will you say? Because the gods will now come to his house to demand the cow he collected on their behalf. That pastor is a thief. He's a thief. He's a criminal. It's not the one I'm talking about. It's you I'm talking about. Stop going to places where you pay for deliverance. How many times do I have to tell this? What did I say? You don't. Deliverance is free. When we want to give as Christians, we give freely. We are just happy. We believe in something. We want to honor somebody. That's how we don't pay for deliverance. And please, you can pray at any time of the day. What did I say? You know, it's as if I'm always talking to myself again. Like, damn it, you know, I don't like when I do these things. It's just that I can't help. You know, people are just there. You know how confused human beings are. I think that's okay. I just somebody that needed to help. Let's get back. Oh, we're saying, Joe. Yes, now that we have settled that. Please, I recommended that you listen to that series that we preached some time ago, which is what? Yes. The title is... Reverend Dami, you have not even watched what Ijoma was doing to me. That's the word I was looking for. Overcoming the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yes. Overcoming. Please listen to that series. Overcoming that tree. Okay? Now, there's something we try to say in that series. And what I want to explain something briefly about it now. Now, let me just say this briefly. I think we'll close with it. Maybe I may develop it again next time. There are three realms of this life all of us must understand exists. There are three realms. There's the kingdom of God, which we are heading for. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
And then there's a world, the kingdom of this world, which is on this earth currently. Okay? But the one that I want us to note carefully is the interruption or the intrusion of the kingdom of God on the earth. You see what I said? Remember that place I read in Deuteronomy chapter 11? I emphasized something that it said to be like days of what? Heaven on the earth. The kingdom of God does show his face, its face, in people's lives on the earth. You know, I say this once in a while, I'm not talking to an average person, I'm talking to Christians, disciples of the word. And please, I want you to note that your life is supposed to be a life that experiences or that's lived in the kingdom of God on the earth. There is a kingdom that is coming where only the people that have participated in the resurrection will partake in. When God will create the new heavens and a new earth. Do you get my point? Okay, let's just read the particular scripture in that regard. There are a number of scriptures. For time's sake, maybe I won't bother reading them. For example, if you read from 2 Peter chapter 3, he said, but according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's what I'm talking about. Again, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let me just read a few verses from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just read a few verses from there. All right, time will not let me go into more. Now I say this. Paul said that flesh and blood, brethren, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. That's verse 50. He said, there's a mystery that I'm telling you about now, that not all of us will sleep, that is die, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable or incorruptible. And we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable. And this mortal must put on what? Immortality. So bear that in mind. He now said in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. That is a real thing. Paul said, if there is no resurrection, then we have all men what? Most miserable, most to be pitied. So there is a kingdom of God that will be manifested at that time. About the kingdom of the world, I believe we all know it. The Bible tells us there is the God of this world. That's Satan. And John said, the whole world lies in the power or under the control of the evil one. There's a life in this world. Do you understand? But the one we want to talk about, I'm trying to emphasize as I close now, is this one the Bible calls the kingdom of God on the earth. In which Nebuchadnezzar, I think I'm beginning to close. In which Nicodemus, not Nebuchadnezzar, in which Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what Jesus said to him? No, he said that no one can do all these works except God is with him. And what did Jesus say? Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and spirit. Now, literally, what water? That is spiritual water. It's not really water, add spirit to it. But that the water I'm talking about is the water of the spirit. So that second was qualifying. Like Englishman was like an adjectival reference. You understand? So qualifying that first one. That this water is spiritual. Except you are born of this water, you cannot enter into the kingdom. And Jesus will say it again and again. What is this kingdom? They argued with him at the point in time that you are casting out demons by Beelzebub. What did he say? He said, if I by the finger of God cast out demons from amongst you. What does he say? What did he say? He said, it means the kingdom of God is in your midst right now. So there's an intrusion of that kingdom into this natural sphere. And that is what Christians are supposed to constantly go for. That's what this message is about. That is, the supernatural is not supposed to be an unusual thing in the life of the Christian. And listen to this, you are supposed to expect it. Please, stop reading books when they tell you when you will go blind. And you think they are talking to you. They're not talking to you. Did you get my point? Stop reading books that will tell you when you are supposed to have dementia. They are not talking to you. See, everybody presents his plans. That's a presentation of the plan of the world. It's unfortunate that most times what surrounds us is the plan of this age, the plan of Satan, the plan of the world. And we don't have a choice but to receive it. Why? We didn't receive the other one. You can't just say, I will not agree. The only way you can say I will not agree, if you have something to agree with. Do you follow my point? Except God has spoken something to you, you have discovered his spirit entering you through a word in the scripture. You can't say I will not agree. Just because you don't like it. But if you have discovered the word of God. Now we read the scripture, all these references at the beginning. He says he opposes all things by the word of his power. If the word has spoken to you, then that word is trying to create what he said. That's what you must build your life on if you want the kingdom of God to intrude into the earth in your own life. Did you hear what I said? That must be what we are gunning for. And the way the kingdom of God will intrude into our lives is what I'm explaining. The Spirit has to come in because the word is alive. It's when we obey the word, believe the stories, that word starts creating the kingdom around us. Please, I hope you're getting my point. See, I told you the other time, I mentioned this, I think the last few days I've been preaching, I've been saying it. I took Catherine Kuhlman's books. Give me their names again. I Believe in Miracles. God Can Do It Again. Nothing is Impossible with God. Then the book titled 10,000 Miles for a Miracle. I keep reading them. I just sit down, just take one chapter every day. Just read one chapter and read. What am I trying to do? I'm just trying to tell myself there is a kingdom of God. Because I asked the Lord, wait. Jesus walked into a place where there were 5 porches full of the sick and lame and all of that. Touched one person. If I didn't even tell myself, do you want to be made whole? So take your bed, your pallet, and walk. And that one got up, took his bed on a Sabbath day, and walked. I said, why are you carrying... Human beings are funny. Why are you carrying your bed on a Sabbath day? When I've been lying down on the Sabbath day, you didn't notice. So. But you notice something. He just told him that, listen, I don't know. One man came here. You know he didn't know Jesus Christ? Do you know he didn't know Jesus Christ? He didn't know about the miracles he had been doing. Then you ask yourself, why did he believe him? Because without faith, he could not have received that thing. Why did he believe? Why did he believe? Jesus just went there, picked only him. I read Catherine Kuhlman's book. She used to have that same problem also. That's Catherine Kuhlman. Wondering why not everybody receives the thing. But please, because of time, I'll just rush through this. Now, please, I don't claim to know everything. I hope you get my point. But at least I know some things. Maybe I will discuss this next time. Okay, maybe I should. I should leave it to you next time. All right? But one thing at least we know for sure is that there was a preparation before the kingdom came. Now, all those manifestations of power is what we are referring to as the intrusion of the kingdom into this earth. Before it could happen in anybody's life, it had to be prepared for. We'll read the scriptures next time. How do you prepare it? Now, listen to this. Jesus said, this is how it goes. You must be what? Born again. You must be born again. Now, listen to this. Born again is not only about the whole being. That is important. But Paul says something in that Philippians chapter 2 we're reading, that it is possible to have a wrong or different attitude in different areas of life, which means it is possible not to be born again in certain areas of life. Yes. It is very possible. There are Christians that their thoughts on finances is just like an unbeliever's. There are Christians that their thoughts on marriage is the same as that of the Dibia in charge of the oldest shrine in the village. In fact, he quotes it for you that my people said, any place where you are quoting your people is one area where you are clearly not born again. And the kingdom will not manifest in your life in that area. See, it's not a prayer matter. It can't. Because those who do those things do not inherit the kingdom. That's what the Bible says. Those who do those things, they don't inherit the kingdom. When we use the word born again, brethren, you as a person, yes, you can give your life to Christ. Then they saw the Bible. Remember, it said, man born of what? Of spirit and water. And I explained that. What does that mean? It means spiritual water. What did he say? That he might cleanse her and sanctify her. How? With the washing of water by the word. Is his bride, though. The church is still being washed. What does that tell you? There are areas in which they've not been born of spiritual water. Yeah. What am I saying? Jesus made something clear. Any area of your life where you want the power manifested, there's a preparation you need to make. That's why it has not been manifested. He said the scribes and the Pharisees, they frustrated the counsel of God for their lives, not having been baptized by John. There's something that used to produce this. Let me just introduce it and then I close. And that's the fact that anytime God wants to come down, life is lived in three levels. That is like, you divide it into 3 days. Anytime God wants to come down, he will tell Moses, go and tell the people, we'll meet on the 3rd day. What should they do? Prepare on the 1st and 2nd days. John the Baptist did not do any mighty work. Jesus said, but a man had to be born again to enter into the kingdom. John the Baptist did no mighty work. What did he do? He went around preaching the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And this one, even though the Bible didn't say categorically, I put many things together and I can say it confidently. Anybody that was not baptized by John or by Jesus' disciples in the early days, they came from John, joined Jesus and continued baptism, they received nothing from Jesus Christ. Amongst the Jews especially. I don't know about the Gentiles, but the Jews. For there to be a flow of the kingdom into this world so that there will be a days of the kingdom on the earth, of heaven on earth, there must always be what? A preparation. That's why you will see what in Deuteronomy chapter 11, what did Moses do? He gave conditions. He gave lists. He said, what are the things? You will love the Lord with what? All your heart. You will obey all the commandments. You will listen attentively and obey all the commandments I'm giving you. You will teach them. You'll be convinced of them. You will teach them to your children. So you do all these things, then you will prosper in the land and then you will endure there. And you will experience the days of heaven on earth. I gave a man a lift a few days ago. We were talking about it. He said, Christians don't understand that these things have if inside. See, they tell us all the time that no, there's no if. There is. It's just the conditions are not if you give money, I will multiply. No. If you will obey me, brethren, what hinders the flow of the Spirit as to push us into his rest? What is the word? I gave a word. Disobedience. Thank you. Disobedience. Listen to me. There's always an obedience to accomplish. There's always obedience to perfect in every aspect of your life. There is. Now, remember that obedience is not a method, though. What does it do? Can you remember I said at the beginning? What does it do? When you have an instruction, you obey. What do? Let me see who has been following me. No. What does it do? It activates a spirit. There's a flow of the spirit you require. It is packaged in that word. It is not the word as the issue. It is the spirit inside it. When you obey it, what happens to you? Yeah, you activate the release. Because what the word is going to do in your life, you can't do it by yourself. I always use this material prosperity as an example. If God says, okay, I've made you, a father of many nations, I've made you, so you are going to be maybe an employer of 10,000 people. Right now you are working for one person. Please tell me, how do you want to plot that? How do you want to plot that? It may be the only word that will come to you is faithful in that which belongs to another person. So you wake up in the morning. Hey, have I been faithful in that which belongs to somebody else? And God just gives you two places. Here, where you work, and the church you attend. Then people won't know where you got fired from. Suddenly, you are the best. Now, listen, where God is taking you to is where? Employer of 10,000. What does he give you? Faithful in that which belongs to another. But what happens is that releases. Because, let me tell you something. What God does, please, let me end my message here. Eh? Let me pack up. So that you believe me. Where's the tall reverend? You are there. This is your filler. It's fine. No? So that just for you, be on standby. I want to prove to people that I finished preaching and we are going to go home. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Anytime God wants to do something, read this book, Angels on Assignment by Roland Bock. He will tell you that he used to have a vision of angels. When God wanted to deliver Elisha, what happened? They went blind. But did they go physically blind? No. They lost the ability to perceive, to recognize. It was the activity of what? Angels. Do you remember that story? We told you last time. Okay, good. Roland Bock will tell you that he saw angels moving up and down. What is the issue? They came to work on his finances. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Carnegie will tell the story that the Lord said that maybe sent an angel, if it's Carnegie, or either Carnegie or somebody else, and they went out to go and pull resources for something that he prayed to God that he's going to do. Yeah, I remember. He was supposed to sign the deal with some people who would give him money to help run the ministry. All right? And the angel came and said, it's a vision in which he saw an angel. And the angel said that he shouldn't do it. Like he has a message from him, from God. And God said he shouldn't do that. Those men are just trying to take control of his ministry. So as nice as it sounded, they were going to provide him a lot of money, office, and all of that, that he should not accept. How much money you need to do it by yourself? The guy said, I've sent my angels out. It was a senior angel. So he sent the angels under him out to go and pull in the resources. See, let me tell you something. If you're a business person, you need patronage. Eh? Advertising is not bad. That is bad. But the people that God wants to send to you will be brought by angels. That is a fact. Now, so, remember we laugh when I say this. I was telling a story the other day. Judah. I was telling a story that day. It was me and you and Felix. I said there was a woman, a young woman. You know, I was single at the time. And if you're a particular age, you start having ideas up and down. Anywhere you go, you'll be seeing things. And so I see, go to church and I see things. This young woman, I went to see her three times. No, twice. I had a plan the third time. All three times, I was telling them, Judah is your open. All three times, somebody would just stop and block the talk. First time, me and one brother went to a house. I went to work somewhere one time. So one brother said, let's go and visit son and sister. We just sat, as we sat down, it was late, it was getting late a bit in the day. So it wasn't dark when we came, but it was really getting a bit dark. This is why I needed to know about the dark, because of the lights I saw. As we just sat down, suddenly the gate of their compound opened, and the car drove in. I remember because it shone light through the window and filled the room. We didn't think much about it. Then the door opened. Mama just called her. Hey, your father is outside looking for you. How our father tracked the time we were coming to visit me and this guy, we don't know. And the man was angry about something because maybe he had given her some instructions because I could hear his voice. Like, I can't, you know, he was angry. And the talk did not end. And it was getting late. So me and that guy said, nah, but when will they go? Now, so we get up, we come out. Then next time, this one I traveled, then I said, okay, where do you stay in Lagos? I'll come and look. But the day I went to go and visit, since I can't visit you, this one, bro, some people don't even have, they have no discernment. They say that they are possessed by the spirit. Just say, oh, Pastor Bank is around. He carried himself, came, sat squarely, bam, and then the talk. It was the one that saw me off. It's not the one that came to see you. This foolish boy. Of course, you keep praying. You know, you, sometimes you just think it's God that's leading you. God said, don't worry, I'll take care of you. I know you very well. You, I know if I'll take care of you. So, roadblock everywhere, my brother. Roadblock. So, the next time. So, and I said, okay. You know me, you know the only way I used to chase women is church things. So I said, all right. There was this same brother I was telling you about, I was going to see him, this brother that was an obstruction, you understand? And now I'll see him at that time. I said, okay, when I see him, I will tell him, because they are neighbors, tell this your friend, your neighbor, that I'll be going for breakthrough seminar. Let's meet at breakthrough seminar. I will stand in front of, you know, God, have mercy on me. Now, church, I didn't go, so I said, I was standing in front of the bookshop. I had plans. Just before I saw that brother to tell him, another person came and said, "How?" I said, "Hey, how are you? Can I follow you to a breakthrough seminar?" Do you get the gist? Somebody, I would not tell another woman that wants to follow you to church, so you can't come. I have plans. So that's how the whole thing. After that, I didn't. This is not the will of God. The obstruction was too plenty. I'm talking about angels, right? So one day, in the midst of all of this, the following year, I think it's 5 years or 2 years later, I just stood up, JJ. You know this angel that's been blocking me everywhere? That same one. He now went and met one woman and said, "You come. Let me introduce you to somebody." So I was standing. Just wait here. So after a while, first person, the second person, then this lady now came over and said, "Hello, please, I want to ask you a question." I said, "All right. Let's go." Brethren, that was 27 years ago. The following year, December, I don't marry this one. That was, it will be 26 years this December. The Lord is good. I tell my wife till now that an angel just said, "Wait, just wait here. Give me your hands." And then he said, "No angel brought me." I said, "You didn't see him." "I did, inside my spirit." That's how these things are. It's not by running up and down you will get something. No. God actually deploys angels to deliver things to you. And really, if you love the Lord, he will block things that are not supposed to be your own. If you love, he will block things. Do you know, the funny thing about this story, do you know, until I told the story to these guys on Monday, a story of almost 30 years ago, do you know, I didn't connect it. Also, Monday, we're just recording. That was when I realized again that, wait, no. God has had a hand in my matter for a long time. I'm not preaching about me. I'm preaching about you. If God wants you to employ 10,000, he has the angels on standby. As long as you obey the instructions he gave, which releases the spirit. Do you understand? He makes his angels minister spirits. How did he say it again? He makes it, and his ministers a flame of fire. Give me the quote. Spirit, yes. That is, as soon the spirit in the word activates those angels, they will bring favor your way. Yes. See, stop. Knowing big man is not what you need. Some people can like connection. Hey, they like connection to introduce me to somebody. See, if God has not planted your favor in that fellow's hand, you will call him one side. You will call, the fellow will not answer you. What am I saying to you? See, there's a word God gives you so that he can release the kingdom into this earth in an area for you. And that, see, please, brethren, that's what he wants us to believe him for. What did I say? That is what he wants us to believe him for. Each believer should walk in such a manner that, God, in this area, I must see your kingdom. Because Nicodemus, Jesus said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said he cannot enter except he's born of the spirit and water. That is, spiritual water is what he needs to be born of. Except the born of water and spirit. That's what he was saying. Except the word comes and activates, you will not see. But what you need in this life, my brethren, is that kingdom manifested. Don't let the world, please, let me just end with this. Don't let the world offer you anything different. Let me see one of the greatest things I'm looking forward to in my life. Eh? I'll quote that scripture and I'll end. You know what John said? That which was from the beginning, which we heard with our ears, which we saw with our eyes, which our hands handled concerning the word of life, that's what we deliver to you, we declare to you. Brethren, you know what I'm looking for? I want to handle in every aspect of life. I want to handle the power of God. No, I can't live through life and be like, say, I was another Homo sapiens, Homo sapiens, Adamus. God forbid bad thing. I have not believed all this while not to see the Lord in the land of the living. God forbid. Bow down your heads and say to the Lord, eh? I must handle. I must handle. And I'm not going to pursue the way of the world out of whatever people are in. No, I must handle. I want to handle. Say to the Lord, please, God, please. Eh? I don't just want to be another person that went to church. I want to be one that handled. That handled. That those very areas where they said it was not possible, where it is impossible, that was where God stepped in and did something for me. When they saw that young girl, said, ah, how can these things be? See that I know no man. He said, the Spirit of God will come over you, will overshadow you, so that which will be born will be called the Son of God. He said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. What does that tell you? Every time God is still trying to birth something in the life of somebody that people said it was not possible to do it in their lives. No, it's a prayer you need to pray. Pick that area where they say it was not possible. Say, Lord, this is where I want to see power. Now you need to pray that. Say, Father God, this is where I want to see power. That place where they said it is not possible, that is the very place where I want to see power manifested. That very place where they said it is, that segment of my life. Paul called it that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. There's what is called the power of his resurrection. I want heaven to intrude onto my earth. I want the kingdom of God to manifest on this my earth. That's what we are praying for today. Not looking for common sense. He said, I came with the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. That is, all the Spirit says is, be faithful in that which belongs to another, and I'll make you king over 10,000. He said, go to the cross and die. And by your work, he said, you will see the result of the travail of your soul and you'll be satisfied. He said to Joseph, don't worry. You've been wrongly sold into slavery. Be faithful in the house of Potiphar. You've been wrongly sent into prison. Be faithful in prison. This is grace. I will make you prime minister in Egypt. He said to Peter, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If Peter had followed his own agenda, he may have been a successful fisherman of fish. He would have been a fisher of fish. And all of us will have forgotten. We will never have known who he was. But today we'll talk about Peter and his walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he followed him. Say, Lord, I put out my hand. I want to follow you. In every aspect of my life, to follow you.